Here's an important question for you. What does it mean to have hope? In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul identified hope as one of the three premier Christian attributes. He identified faith, hope, and love. So what is hope? Well, Christian hope is not wishful thinking, such as saying, I hope it doesn't rain today. That's not what we're talking about. By the way, it's supposed to rain today, so. Rather, Christian hope is a confident trust in the promises of God. A confident trust in the promises of God. Christian hope says, even if it rains today, my hope is built on the reality that God is in control and that he loves me. So that's a different type of hope. Christian hope can change our lives and it can change the world. So today we're going to hear a message of hope. Before we do, I want you to join me in prayer, and we want to ask God to speak to us because we need his hope in our lives and in our church, and the world needs his hope. So let's ask him to give us some hope this morning as he speaks to us through his word and through the joining together of his church. Join me now in prayer. God, would you speak to us this morning? By the power of your Holy Spirit, we need to hear from you, God. Would you give us hope? Lord, would you show us what true hope is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ? God, we pray for those this morning who may be without hope. God, help them to see how much you love them and how you can give them hope. Lord, we pray for those who already have the hope of Jesus. May we live that way. Lord, would you do something great by your power and for your glory? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're taking notes, you'll see four things there. As we journey in the message today, we're going to discover four truths about genuine hope. So first, you can write this down if you'd like. Our world needs hope. Our world needs hope. There are a lot of difficult things happening in our world right now, aren't there? I mean, right now, by the way, I've said that before. There are a lot of difficult things, because every time I say it, it's true, right? There's always something going on. Right now, our world has conflicts and crime and wars and Iran and the Gaza Strip and Israel and Lebanon and Ukraine and Nigeria and Mexico and Haiti and so many other places in our world. There's difficult things going on. In our own country, we have issues with immigration, divisive politics and mudslinging, economic trouble, housing challenges, healthcare challenges, confusion with gender and sexuality, and so much more. Our country has some issues, doesn't it? In our own community, the greater Bartow area, we have issues with crime, addiction, homelessness, broken families, and so much more. Many of us have some of these issues I've identified in our own households or in our extended families. There's a lot of evil and a lot of struggle in our world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 tells us this: the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Wow. And we see that. We see the influence of the evil one on the entire world. And really, when you think about that verse, that's crazy. To say the whole world, but everything in the world is affected by Satan and his evil forces. The world needs hope. The truth is, the world could find hope in God. But all of us, at one point or another, have rejected God. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. We need hope. We need light, but instead, we and the world have rejected God's light. We've pursued darkness. That which we need the most, we've rejected. That which the world needs the most, they have rejected. And when we don't have the light, we have darkness. And we can get lost in the darkness, can't we? We can get lost. There have been some times that I like to spend time in the woods. And there have been some times where I've been with friends in the woods on their property or property that they're familiar with. And they'll take me there in the daytime. I'm getting old enough now that I can't remember which stories I've told. So, you know, just play along. But a lot of times they'll take me in the daytime and they'll drop me off in the woods. And I'll say, I'll see you. They'll say, we'll see you in like 6 hours. I'll be, okay, sounds good, whatever, 4 hours, whatever it is. But then when I meet up with them, it's dark. And they'll say, when they drop me off, just meet me up the road up there on the right somewhere. Okay, I'll see you there. But it's a lot easier to get lost in the dark than it is in the light. And I'll start walking to where I'm supposed to go, and I'll say, it looks like that road splits off. I didn't remember it splitting off before. I go right or I go left. It's a lot easier to get lost in the dark. It's a lot easier for problems to come in our lives when we're walking in the darkness. And you know, there's no greater feeling when you're unsure where you are in the dark than when you see the light from your buddy's flashlight or four-wheeler. And you say, I'm saved. I see the light. And this is what the world needs. The world needs to see the light. The world needs hope. But we've rejected the light. We've rejected hope. And we're walking in darkness. The world is lost in that darkness. The world needs hope. Of all the greatest tragedies in the world, I want to be precise here. I really mean this. Of all the greatest tragedies in the world, nothing compares to the darkness of sin. All the worlds in the world are not as terrible as the sin in the hearts of humanity. All the hunger in this world is not as tragic as the sin that plagues humankind. All the addiction, all the crime, all the evil in this world are not as devastating as the sin in the hearts of each and every single person without Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned. Sin and its effects on us are terrible. And Adam, the first person in the world, brought sin into the world. That's what he's saying there. One man brought sin. And then death through sin. Adam, that one man, brought sin into the world. But every one of us have kept sin in the world. Right? We like to blame it on Adam and Eve. Oh, they brought sin in the world. But we've kept it here. We too have also sinned. And sin brings death. So death spread to all people because all sinned. Our world is lost in sin. Our world needs hope. And not only does our world need hope, also our church needs hope. Our church needs hope. The fact of the matter is, every church needs hope. The reality is that the average church attendance in the United States declined approximately 14% during the first 3 years following the COVID-19 pandemic. So that would have been 2021, 2022, and 2023. The average church remains, as of 2025, approximately 6% below their pre-COVID numbers. Churches are struggling. When I talk to fellow pastors, I tell them, if you're just maintaining, you're doing fine. But we don't want to just do fine, do we, church? Churches need hope. Churches need a reason to exist that has some substance to it. Churches aren't around just to have beautiful buildings and biblical sermons and bountiful meals. Those things are good. I like a good sermon. I like a good meal. I love beautiful buildings. But there's no substance to that. That's not why we're here. Churches need a mission. Churches need a purpose. Churches need hope. Speaking of this, speaking of Jesus, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. Churches need hope, and they need to look to Jesus, the head of the church, for that hope. We need to be able to look to Jesus, our head, and he provides us that hope. You know, we have been shown the way to hope. Churches have. We've been shown the way to hope, but so many churches, and we have the temptation as well, we don't stick to what we've already been shown. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful." We need hope, and we do not need to waver away from the hope that God provides, that the Lord Jesus has shown us. Additionally, church, you know, we can do a lot to build a seemingly successful church and still not have true biblical hope. We can do that. There are strategies out there to show you how to build a church without really having true biblical hope. By God's grace, all glory to God, our church is not one of those whose attendance is lower than pre-COVID numbers. We thank God for that. Ours is actually a little higher. However, a church can grow without God. Do you know that? You can grow a church without God. You shouldn't, but you can. So we must be careful. As a church, we must examine ourselves. We must see if we're holding on to the hope that God has given us. Are we being faithful to the hope? Are we pressing into and spreading the hope that God has given us? Because we can put in a lot of human effort, build a highly successful church in terms of the world standards, and still be utterly hopeless. Psalm chapter 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain." If the Lord's not in it, church, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what we do as a church if the Lord is not in it. So we must ask ourselves, church, First Baptist Bartow, what kind of house are we building? Is the Lord building the house, or are we building it by our own effort? Are we staying true to the confession of hope that God gave us? Are we staying true to the mission of God? You know, in our own church in 2023, which in many ways seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't. In 2023, our church completed a survey called the Know Your Church Survey. There are six different categories in that survey indicating church health. Of six different categories of church health, our church scored lowest in evangelism. That's our lowest area of our church, with a designation of marginally unhealthy when it comes to evangelism. You might say, what does that mean? It means what it says. We're marginally unhealthy. We're kind of unhealthy when it comes to evangelism. I don't know about you. I don't want to be any unhealthy about anything. But that's what we indicated by our own survey. We indicated that, and by our scores. You might say, well, what are some of the questions? Well, I'm glad you asked. In response to this statement, a church should meet the needs of its own members before it reaches out to others. That's one of the statements that we were encountered with. Here's how we responded. 47.3, almost half of our church, 47.3 of our church indicated that we agree or strongly agree with that statement, that we should focus on ourselves before we focus on others. In response to this statement, I would be willing to do more personal evangelism if I had more training. Hold on, my clicker's broke. Ready? Watch this. There it is. Okay, gotcha. I would be willing to do more personal evangelism if I had more training. 60% of our church indicated that we were undecided or disagree with this statement. Undecided or disagree. Over half of our church. These responses indicate, by the way, this was anonymous. Some of you are going, what did I write down? It's anonymous. I don't know what you wrote down. So don't worry. Well, we should be worried. But don't worry about yourself. Worry about all of us, right? These responses indicate a tendency to focus on ourselves a hesitancy to reach out to others and an unwillingness to complete the mission of God. This is what it indicates. There's a sense in which many in our church may be on the verge of giving up or may have already given up on the mission of God. It's a sad reality. You say, I thought you were going to bring a message of hope. Well, I'm not done yet, okay? I'm not done yet. But we as a church, by the way, I'm not telling you this to make you feel better because we should not feel good about this. Our church is better than most churches on these scores. I've seen a lot of churches on these surveys. Our church is on the higher end when it comes. Evangelism is typically the lowest for every church that does these surveys. But that shouldn't make us feel better. That should make us feel like there's a bigger problem, not just with our church. We need hope. Churches need hope. And hope is not lost for you. Hope is not lost for me. And hope is not lost for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The gates of Hades will not overpower the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have not lost hope. So let's move on to this third truth here. This third truth is that Jesus gives hope. Jesus gives hope. The world needs hope. We need hope. Jesus gives hope. Perhaps the most famous passage in the Bible, followed by a less famous verse, is John 3, 16 and 17. It says this, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is why God sent Jesus. God did not send Jesus to condemn us. He sent Jesus to save us. God has given us and the world hope through Jesus Christ. Jesus said of himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is seeking and saving those who are lost. Jesus is bringing hope. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. That should capture our attention when he says that. He says this, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is why Jesus came. That is a message of hope. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus gives hope. Finally, number four, we carry hope. We carry hope. Those of us who have been saved by the hope of Jesus Christ have the blessing and privilege of carrying that same hope with us. I got so many people nodding and amening and agreeing when I said the world needs hope. Well, good news. You can carry it to them. You can carry hope. I can carry hope. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, boom, you are the light of the world. The world, we learned earlier in John, rejected the light. It chose the darkness. They still need light. You are the light of the world. You can take them that hope. You can take them that light. We can carry the message of light. We carry the message of the hope of Jesus Christ. Listen, brothers and sisters, let me be a little more clear. Not only do we carry the hope of Jesus, we are the only ones who carry the hope of Jesus. There is no one else to bring the gospel to people who need it except the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no alternative. We must carry hope. Followers of Jesus are the ones that God has designed to do this work. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, how then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. If hope is to be carried, we must carry it. In part, by preaching the message of hope. Now you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. You're the preacher. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about a pastor of a local church. He's talking about someone proclaiming the message of the gospel. That's what it means to preach. Proclaim the message of the gospel. Any of y'all can be preachers. You can't all be pastors, but you can be preachers. Preach the gospel. Preach the word in season and out of season. Take the message of hope. Paul says, if you don't, they won't hear. And if they don't hear, they won't believe. So we must carry the message of the hope. This command was given to us by Jesus himself shortly before he left the earth in what we call the Great Commission. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus wants us to carry hope. Jesus wants us to know that he has authority. You've been commissioned by someone with authority. Sometimes I'll tell one of my kids to go tell one of my other kids to do something, and I'll say, tell them dad said so. They're carrying authority when they do that, right? Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. I'm telling you. He wants us to go. Jesus wants us to make disciples. Jesus wants us to baptize. Jesus wants us to teach his commandments to others. Jesus wants us to remember that he is with us always. He's with you, church. You can carry the message of hope. Jesus is with you. He wants us to carry hope. Some of you may remember the very last words recorded of Jesus. Some of the last words recorded of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, I'm about to leave. By the way, I'm going to be with you always. I'm about to leave. Somebody else is coming, the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses, and you'll receive power. You're not carrying hope on your own, church. You have the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and you will be a witness for Jesus. He was speaking to his disciples in Israel, and he told them that the gospel would go out from there where they were. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You know, this model, I love one preacher, and I love what he said, and I agree with him. He said, when Jesus said Jerusalem, he meant Jerusalem. When Jesus said Judea, he meant Judea. When he said Samaria, he meant Samaria. And when he meant the ends of the earth, he meant the ends of the earth. I was like, that's pretty profound. But a lot of pastors like to take this and make it in their context, and I think that's okay also. And here's what I mean by that. The model that Jesus left our disciples, his disciples, is one that we can model as disciples today. Here's what I mean. For the disciples, Jerusalem was very near. They were in Jerusalem when Jesus rose from the dead. For them, Judea was near. Samaria was far, and the ends of the earth were very far. So how does that translate to us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look here on the screen. Very near Bartow. Right now, you are in Bartow. In case you didn't know that. Like, right, like City Hall's right there. Like, you're Bartow, okay? That's very near. Near would be Florida. Florida's a big state, by the way. It's a lot of Florida for us to take the gospel. Far would be perhaps United States. You might say North America. It'd be far. Very far, same as the disciples. Ends of the earth. Ends of the earth. Church, we should carry hope. Far, very far, very near, near. We should carry hope wherever we go. And we can carry hope with us. This was Jesus' command for us. We must carry hope very near all the way to very far. I hope This is the first kind of hope that I mentioned earlier. I hope you believe that to be true. And I hope you believe that you can be part of bringing the other kind of hope to the world. Let this bottom line summarize what we're learning today. Jesus is the only hope for the world and for our church. Jesus is the only hope for our world and for the world and for our church. Here's a good way to kind of explain that a little further. The world will not survive without Jesus. Listen to how I'm saying this. The world will not survive without Jesus. The church should not survive without Jesus. The church should not survive without Jesus. We need more of Jesus in our lives, and we need to take more of Jesus to others. To that end, I'm going to give you a regular type of weekly challenge. Okay, you ready? Challenge yourself this week in this one way. Receive hope and give hope. Receive hope and give hope. Receive the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I mean by that is it's two things. One, if you've never been saved from your sins and become a follower of Jesus, you need to do that. You need to receive the only hope that can truly change your life, the hope of God found through Jesus Christ. Receive that hope. Admit to God that you are a sinner. I was talking to one of my kids this week about what it means to sin. To sin means that God has a good design for our lives and for our world, and we reject that. That's what it means to sin. We say, I don't want to do what you want me to do, God. I don't want to do what you've designed for me, God. I want to do my own thing. That's what it means to sin. Because some of us just think of like the bad sins, right? Like murders, stealing, and you know, adultery. What? By the way, those are bad. But there's all kinds of sins that we've become comfortable with. And those sins lead to death. They lead to a real spiritual death, a real physical death. Death came into our world as a result of sin. Death will separate us from God and send us to a real place with eternal punishment we commonly refer to as hell because of our sin. Receive hope, though, and be forgiven of your sins by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God loved the world and you in this way, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, and to offer you forgiveness of your sins. Jesus paid the penalty so that you could receive the reward. Receive that hope. That's one thing I mean there. The second thing I mean there is that some of you are already followers of Jesus, but you've lost hope. You've lost hope in some of your situations and circumstances. You've lost hope during doubt. Press back in to the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe his promises. Here's what I want you to remember. Your faith is not built on how dependable you are. Your faith is not built on the good situation or circumstances that you are in. Your faith is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Go to him. Ask him to be with you. Receive hope. And then once you've received the light and the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, give it away. Give it away to others. Give it to them and help them see the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive hope and give hope. That's your weekly challenge. That's just for this week, and you can do it every week. But we have something coming up that I want to tell you about right now. And I have time. I'm looking at my clock here. So I planned this well. I have time. We have something coming up on May 3rd, so you have a few weeks to think about this. We are launching what we call the Hope Initiative. The Hope Initiative is not something I came up with, but it is something I've been privileged to help build. I didn't come up with it. It's a resource offered through a ministry called Church Answers, which I get to play a part in their ministry on the side. And we have seen the Hope Initiative truly change churches. And here's what it is. The Hope Initiative is a special challenge for our church to band together to carry the hope of Jesus Christ to others. This is a 30-day challenge that we'll commit to do together for those who will commit to do it, followed by a once a month prompt for another 11 months. So 30 days every day, and then once a month for 11 months, and then hopefully for the rest of your life, to be on mission, to reach out to others. Our pastors are hoping and praying that the Lord would give us at least 25 people to join our pastors in this challenge. So more precisely, we need at least 22 people, because we have three pastors, and we're doing it. But at least 25 people who will join together to reach out to people with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ through various different means. Through just loving people. Some of those things might include writing a letter to a local leader and just saying, I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I appreciate that you care about our city. That's one of the types of things we would do. Another thing would be that we would take the street we live on and we'd walk by and pray for all the people, pray for their homes, the people that live on that street, and ask God's blessings upon them. Those are just a few examples that we're hoping for at least 25 people who will be part of the Hope Initiative that we're going to launch on May 3rd. Pastor Dirk's birthday, by the way. We're celebrating his birthday by being faithful to God. So I want to ask, church, will you join us in the Hope Initiative? Will you join us in this launch of bringing hope? If you would, just come tell one of our pastors. Also, you can make it really easy. Just grab a connection card, put your name on there, and just write the word hope anywhere on there. Unless your name is Hope, then put it somewhere else, okay? Just write the word hope, and we'll know this person's committed to the Hope Initiative. You don't have to respond today. We're gonna launch on May 3rd, but I wanna challenge you, church. We can do this. Listen, we can carry hope. And the Lord can build this house for his glory by his power, and he is not done saving people with the message of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to that end. I want to pray for us in just a moment. But before we leave today, we're going to have a chance to respond. And Pastor Dirk and I talked about there's not a better song to sing on a message about hope than the song Living Hope. So we're going to sing that song this morning as a time to respond. If God is working on your heart in any way, would you respond? You might say, well, how will I respond? Well, how's God leading you? Maybe he's leading you to just take a time of private prayer to speak to him. Respond that way. Maybe God's leading you to go up to a brother or sister in Christ that you know in this room and just grab their hand and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something, or would you pray with me? Maybe God's leading you to come down these aisles and come respond. I'll be standing down here. I'd love to respond with you. If you need to ask a question or make a spiritual decision or you need prayer, I'd love to respond with you and help you respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you know you're not a follower of Jesus. You've heard about this. You say, I need that hope. I'd love to show you how you can follow Jesus. Maybe you need to make some other spiritual decision. I want to ask you to do that as we respond by singing Living Hope. If nothing else, if you're a follower of Jesus, just take our time, your time, as we sing Living Hope, to ask God to renew that hope within you and to use you to carry hope. I want to encourage you, church, don't give up on the mission of God. Don't give up. He's not through with you. He's not through with this church. Be faithful. Join me now in prayer as we prepare to sing.